The last time we met Anne Racklin, she'd just finished recording The Tin Ring, the remarkable story of Zdenka Svetlana, a Holocaust survivor. Anne was inspired to do this for the RNIB Library after a blind volunteer who was helping her during lockdown mentioned how much he wanted to read the book, but that no audio version was available. Anne, who's 87, so enjoyed the process and did such a good job that she immediately offered to record more titles for RNIB. She chose her 10 Famous Children series, which she originally wrote some 20 years ago, and which grew from her long educational career as the founder of Music for Fun. She joined me from her home in East Sussex to tell me more.
My life's work has been with children and music. I've worked a lot in my life on behalf of hearing impaired children, and I thought, no, this is time for me to do something for visually impaired children. And what better than to record my own books?
Tell us about the 10 Famous Children.
Well, a lot of people know about the great composers when they were grown up and what they did. But what about when they were children? And so I wrote 10 books about the childhood years of the 10 great composers, who turned out to be naughty boys, who turned out to be all kinds of lovely, exciting things that children would want to hear and perhaps children would be able to identify with. And in particular, of course, there were people like Beethoven, who had to cope eventually with being deaf, and Handel, who also had very, very serious visual problems. And so they still managed somehow or other to become legends that lasted over the centuries. So their childhood years are revealing and funny, and I think important for children to learn.
The series was originally published in print in the early 1990s, but that's before it was more usual to make audiobook versions.
That's absolutely true. But now, of course, people are very keen on audiobooks. And I was able to actually enhance the books by recording them because I could add my own comments when the book was finished, which I did in each case, very short, but just perhaps a few little words about what did happen when they grew up, and also to add the music, which I found was a very important thing to do. Particularly, let's say, take the example of Mozart, who, of course, composed extraordinary music when he was 5 and 6. And that's the music I've added to the book. And in each case, I've used simple music, mostly piano music, but some orchestral music too. But music that I hope will appeal to children that may not have listened to classical music before. There's ballet music, for example. In the Tchaikovsky story, I've used The Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, which is appealing and part of the story of the Nutcracker. So I've been able, I think, to enhance the books by recording them for the RNIB.
And I believe that the music has a family connection as well.
Well, it does, because my late husband was a wonderful pianist. He started playing the piano when he was 3, gave his first concerts at 4. And when he was only 17, he was chosen by Rachmaninoff to bring his 3rd piano concerto to Europe. He was a brilliant pianist. And it's rather lovely for me to use some of his piano recordings and give them a new life. He would really approve of what I'm doing and be thrilled that it's his performances that the children are going to hear.
And you too have a background in performance as a professional narrator, but I believe you had to build your own home studio, firstly to record The Tin Ring, and now for these books too.
Yes, I am a professional narrator. I performed with symphony orchestras all over the world in concerts and music festivals, and my method is to narrate my stories to the music. But of course, in this particular case, reading the books without the music, that's something I hadn't done before. And because of COVID, there was no way I could go to a recording studio, especially where I live. I did try and find one, but it wasn't going to work. So the only thing to do was to build my own. So I consulted my daughter, who is in Paris, and she told me how to build the studio. She's a broadcaster. She worked for the BBC and she's still recording stories for Chinese children. She told me, "Mum, it's not difficult. All you have to do is buy some foam and how to build it." And so I built it in the room over my garage where it's quiet and except for an occasional aeroplane that likes to do aerobatics out over the top of our cottage, it was pretty quiet. So I was able to record all of the books as I did the Tin Ring, doing it all myself. That was the challenge, really. Not so much building the studio, but using the computer at the same time as recording and all the complicated things one has to do, which normally a sound engineer would do. Then when the books were finally recorded, of course, they went to a sound engineer who's worked with me and with my daughter, and he took out any pops and anything that needed the ambiance improved a little bit. But otherwise, I was my own sound engineer. It was a new profession.
One of those lovely stories with a positive twist that COVID and the lockdown has brought us. And I believe that even before you started reading the books, you needed to transcribe them from paper onto a computer.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Yes, I did indeed. That way I didn't have to turn pages and make a noise.
A degree of professionalism that we have come to expect in the R&IB Talking Book Studios, but maybe not from somebody who volunteers their own time to record the books for us.
It was a joy to do, and I do hope it will open up a whole new vista for visually impaired children, and perhaps even for teachers in schools, because the stories are intriguing and fun, and I researched them. Everything in them is true. Beethoven did try to steal eggs from his neighbour's chickens, and even caught a cockerel and gave it to his parents to serve up for lunch. There's some marvellous, marvellous little stories that children can identify with, and they're not those stuffy old composers that we used to learn about in school. You know, it was a case of Handel lived in such and such a time and here's his music, now listen. Well, I don't believe in that. I believe in making it fun, making it alive, and that's what I tried to do with the famous children books. They were originally hugely successful. They were translated into 17 languages, and even to this day, they are being issued to Chinese, Korean, and Indonesian children.
Well, many thanks for making them fully accessible to children with print disabilities. And I think creating 10 wonderful mini albums that show just what a diverse bunch the famous composers were.
Absolutely. I mean, all grown-ups were once children. And in one particular case, the case of Haydn, a very naughty boy grew up to be extremely famous and to this day a wonderful, great composer.
And in the case of Beethoven and Handel, conclusive proof that disability need be no barrier to success.
That was my main thought all the way through, that it doesn't matter what disability you have, there's always something you can do and not things that you can't do. And when you hear about some of the things that these great human beings did that created such miraculous music that has crossed the centuries in spite of being deaf, in spite of having visual problems, it's really remarkable. And it's an inspiration, and that's what I wanted to get across to the children.
George Handel sat down on the stool and gazed at the keys. He was breathless with excitement. Then he began to run his fingers over the keyboard. "Oh, Aunt Anna," said George, "thank you. This is the best birthday present in the whole world." "I knew you would like it," said Aunt Anna. "But remember, George, practice when your father is out. You know he doesn't approve of music."
Anne Rackland's 10 Famous Children series is available now from the R&IB Library, and they're a wonderful listen for children and adults alike.